Good morning, everybody, and welcome to WFNULP 94.1 FM in St. Paul. We are Frogtown Community Radio. This is the 9:45 show. I am your host, Mike Rez. Bridge Sky is not with us this morning, but eventually she'll be back. Good morning, Bridge, if you're out there listening. I know you're listening because that's one of the mandatory duties of the co-host when they don't show up is to make sure they still listen. We need at least one listener out there. All right, we got a great show lined up for you today. We have a singer, songwriter, member of Fathom Lane. Everybody, please welcome Michael Ferrier to the program. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Let's turn on that microphone.
Yeah, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking time out of your Saturday.
Perfect. Yeah, it's perfect. A little. I hope anyone out there who's listening has a little coffee, ready to go, listen to some tunes.
So. Yeah, you've got your guitar with you.
I did. I brought my guitar.
Yes. So we have. That's 2 weeks in a row now. We've had live music. That's going to happen on the show.
Yeah, nothing like a live in studio to really get you to wake up on a Saturday morning.
Right.
Right? I still got my morning voice, I can tell. Maybe that's good for radio, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, the deeper the sound, the better, yeah. It's a condensed microphone. I mean, you're all good to go. People are going to be like, whoa, we got to see this guy in person.
Right.
So
then they'll be like, oh.
I always feel like people think that of me when they're like, oh, I think I listened to this guy. Oh, that's what he looks like?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it wasn't what I pictured, yeah.
Right, yeah. It's like, have you ever seen Wayne's World 2?
Oh, yeah.
With Handsome Dan.
Long, long time, yeah. Handsome Dan, not so much, yeah.
Yeah. They just look at him like, wait a minute, you're not handsome at all. I should start calling myself Handsome Mike.
Yeah, that'll
throw
go.
Everybody
Me
off.
Me too, I could get away with you it. Handsome Michael, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we got a Michael and a Mike in studio.
Yep.
So when you start your morning off singing right away in the morning, does that get you going throughout the rest of your day, or does that throw your day off?
I don't know. We'll find out, I guess, as the day moves on. I mean, I know, you know, I don't have a lot of plans today, so if everything crashes and burns, I'm good. But yeah, I don't normally sing this early in the morning. I will say that much.
Well, I'm glad that this is going to be your first opportunity. You see me fighting my microphone, too.
So. Yeah, there's a wrestling match going on
over
there.
It was, like, perfect, and then we started the show, and then it's decided
that
it's had enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to have to hold on to it the rest of the show. These springs are unsprung, I think.
Yeah.
So, all right. If you want to learn more information about the radio station, all you have to do is go to WFNU.org. And you can find out what we're doing, where we're at, where we're going. Maybe you're listening to us right now on WFNU.org. If you are, thank you very much. We do stream there live 24/7. You can also download the WFNU app on your devices, your mobile devices, your tablets, anything you need. And you can catch us worldwide there as well. Another fun thing about the app is you can catch your favorite show on demand for 2 weeks. But if you're like 2 weeks later and you're like, oh my goodness, I forgot to listen to Fathom Lane on the 9:45 show, all you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting platform and you can download it there. It'll be up there forever, or until AI decides to take it down.
Good old AI.
Yeah. So it's like the dominant parts of conversation now when I talk to musicians and artists of any kind. It's like AI's coming. Now what do we do?
Yeah, it's an interesting time we live in for sure, and I have no idea what we're gonna do.
Right. Yeah, it's just I'm not scared of it. I just don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
And I do use it sometimes to generate pictures and maybe some captions once in a while.
Because
I
captions,
do need that help.
Yeah. It doesn't do very well though, does it?
Captions, I would say it's about an A-. Pictures, I'm looking at like a C+.
Yeah.
It so still far. Hasn't figured that out.
Yeah.
So, but the new video AI is actually, I think, a lot faster and getting better than the photo AI.
Cool.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I have seen a few things here and there, but I'm trying to, you know, just see how things are going to shake out. It's always an interesting time to be a musician over the last few decades.
So. Right. Yeah. Well, I got one more thing to say about AI, and then we're going to stop talking about AI. We're going to talk about your music. When the container ship hit the bridge in Maryland, the local news stations there did not report it right away because they thought the video was AI generated.
Interesting.
Yeah. Huh. So
they're going to always have to check now, I guess.
That is the world we live in now.
Yeah, that's just too weird to have actually happened.
Right.
Yeah, no, it did.
Yep. Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about your music. You have an album that came out in the Driftless.
Yes, it came out in July, so still getting out and about, really. It's been fun to get out and play some of these songs live, and I'm going to be playing, I think all three tunes are from the new record today, so
perfect.
You'll hear a little preview.
Awesome.
Live acoustic version, yeah.
Well, tell us first who and what is Fathom Lane?
Well, we're a 5 or 6 piece band. On the record, we're a 6 piece band. A lot of times when we play live, we're a 5 piece band. It's myself writing the songs and kind of setting direction. And then Matt Patrick plays lead guitar and sings, and he also produces our records. So he has a lot of kind of, you know, personal stock in the creative direction of the band as well. Ashley Still is the singer, and she co-sings with me, and you know, she was kind of one of the big sparks for the group when the group started out. Once mm-hmm. she started singing with me, I was like, oh, I had a completely different conception of the group then after that, and
sure.
It really kind of set things on its course. Alex Young is playing drums, and he's been with us forever now, I feel like. Not our original drummer, but I feel like he really helps set direction, creative direction for the band, too. We've got a new bass player on board. His name is Rob Morgan. He was replacing Paul Boblett, who is kind of moving on to other things right now, but we left on really great terms. So we'll probably be working with Paul off and on over the, you know, over the course of the rest of the band, too.
Nice.
But Rob is kind of moving in, and he's a great musician. He plays with a lot of great artists in town, Caitlin Smith being one of them, who's a great Americana artist and kind of tours all over the world. So he's settling in nicely to the bass duties a lot when we play live.
Nice. When you bring in somebody new, how long is the period of getting to know their style?
Sometimes, you know, generally I work with the other musicians in the band to find people who they think would fit in really quickly.
Okay.
And generally it's like trial by fire. Usually you have to play a gig and we don't have a rehearsal, you know. It's
right.
Like, okay, we've got this gig. You want to sit in? You want to come off the bench and play? And so they have about a minute, I guess, to figure things out. And generally it's gone really well every time we've had to do something like that. I'm lucky to work with the caliber of musicians who basically just need to hear something a few times, write down some notes, and they're good to go, you know. So
right.
that's I'm really blessed to have a universe of musicians to work in like I have. So
yeah, and that's a professional too, right?
Somebody yeah,
that
absolutely.
You can just plug and play.
Yep, absolutely.
They've
yep.
been around a little while and yep. they can get it done.
Make it seem easy, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually the hard part. Is making it look easy.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
Oh, that looks. I could do that.
Yeah,
like,
I could easily do that. Yeah,
takes a lot of practice.
Yeah,
to do
yeah.
that. So
yep. precisely. Yeah.
Now Matt Patrick, his name gets brought up a lot. I got to have him on the show because
yeah, you do.
Everybody talks about Matt.
Yeah, he's great. He's produces a lot of projects in town. He also is just a fantastic. And sympathetic guitar player. He doesn't, he just comes in and brings exactly what the music needs and then some.
Mm-hmm.
And he can go from ripping your face off with like just a killer lead to just laying down ambient sound beds and so forth. So he really runs the gamut of everything that you would expect from a guitar player.
Right. With the producer hat that he also wears.
Yeah.
Can he bring in ideas that when he's thinking ahead of time, he's like, okay, well, when we sit down and start mixing and putting this album together, it'd be cool if we did something this way versus...
Absolutely. He brings all of his tools to the table when he's
sure.
in the production. He'll you know, help write some of the, you know, tunes. You know, if you need to flesh something out, he'll help you flesh something out. You can hand something off to them and say, hey, just do what you do on this track, and I'll, you know, play it for me when you have it done, you know, and he'll come back and play something for you, and it's like, wow, okay, that's exactly what I would have done, and you don't have to be there. And that's the level of trust, you know, that is really great. Mm-hmm. When you're working with really great musicians, where you can hand something off to them and know that they're going to do something that you absolutely trust. And right. So he's one of those guys.
Yeah. Is it hard to hand over a piece of your work to somebody?
It sure was for a really long time. You know, I'm very much a control freak when it comes to these kinds of things. So mm-hmm. It really, you know, for me, it was a big step to be able to walk away from something and know, you know, that it was in good hands when I handed something off to Matt. You know, he mixed and mastered the last record, and generally I've been there for all the mixing sessions on our first few records, and this time I wanted to just let Matt do Matt things. And
sure.
So I handed it off to him and said, hey, check in with me when it's done. You know, and he would throw things towards me and say, hey, this is the way I want to go with this. What do you think? And sure enough, he was going down a path that I didn't necessarily see, but also seemed very, very perfect. So, yeah, he's really great to work with in that sense.
Yeah, it's nice to have somebody like that who you can
absolutely
trust. Like you said, as a as a control freak, somebody's like, I need to have my hands in every mm-hmm. little bit. But to get to that point where you can say, okay, here you go.
Yeah. It's really great, and it really infuses energy, you know.
Right.
You know, it can really, like, spark new things, you know. And so giving up and letting go for me was a big step, and mm-hmm. And really necessary one for the band, I think.
Yeah. Now, did I read correctly that the last release before this one in July was in 2017?
Yes.
What was the five-year gap?
Well, you know, a whole heck of a lot of life happened.
Sure.
You know, just with various members of the group, actually. Kids were born, divorces were had, you know, rebuilding. Then COVID happened, and I feel like that added another 3 years. It was like right when I felt like things were starting getting going again, then it was like, well, when are we even going to be able to play any of these songs live? So I really held on to the record for a long time. It was basically done for about 3 years before it actually got put out. We added the song Surviving a little bit later in the game, but it fits right in. You know, it was kind of a drawn out process because of COVID as well. So I feel like it would have been, instead of 7 years, it should have been 4 years, you know.
Sure.
We put out our first three records fairly rapidly, and it just took a while to kind of regestate everything and kind of readjust. And again, it was just a whole lot of life events, like a VH1 Behind the Music style, you know?
Right, yeah.
A series of events that kind of, you know, definitely delayed things for a while.
Yeah. All right, the time is now 10 a.m. You're listening to the 945 show on WFNULP 94.1 FM St. Paul. We are Frogtown Community Radio. I am Mike Rez. We have Michael Ferrier in studio from Fathom Lane. When you were in the middle of the life happening with the group, and then the pandemic hit, like you said, and this record is sitting there, and you're like, when did you ever think it's never gonna happen?
Absolutely. all the time, you know. It was like I almost called my own bluff when I sent everything off to get manufactured, you know. It was like, I guess we're making this record, you know. It was like it had been sitting there in the can for so long.
Sure.
And we've played so many of these songs live so many times, you know, over the years. So it felt like it was like, okay, we got to get this one off the decks and so we can do something new, you know. So that's, you know, I really just needed to get it done and out.
Right.
And then just kind of see what happened. And definitely been getting a lot of great reaction from reviewers and listeners. So really just very gratifying, you know. I didn't know what was going to happen when we put it out, but then just the reception has been really fantastic. So really glad we did so. definitely gave us a kick in the pants to get that next record out now. Mm-hmm. I've got a bunch of songs kind of ready to go. We haven't started recording them yet, but we will, you know, sometime soon. Taking a little bit of a hiatus here just because Ashley Still, the singer, had a brand new baby, so she needs some time to get that going. Mm-hmm. So she hasn't played with us for the last few shows that we've played, so that was a big adjustment, because I in my mind think of her voice and my voice together as being Fathom Lane. So it was interesting to have Matt step into that role again. He can really just do so many things, and so he, you know, really picked up the harmony duties when we play, just he and I played, and when we had a show at the Turf Club opening for great Canadian band Great Lake Swimmers, and Ashley was not there for that, so we played it as a four-piece, and it went really great. You know, we know we can do it that way now. We don't want to. Right. So can't
You're
wait
too
for
important, Ashley.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we got to have Ashley back. You know, but it's been nice to see the music and our live show kind of move in different ways.
Yeah, that's really cool. Which way? Now, you said when Ashley came in, the band started going in a different direction. Which direction did you see it going versus which direction it went to after Ashley Grant?
You know, I had joined a bunch of songs that I had demoed with a friend of mine, Andrew Thomas, and he was really encouraging at the time. It was right when I was just coming off my more experimental jazz career playing saxophone, and I decided I wanted to write songs again on the guitar and sing. And he was like, you know, these songs are really great. You should definitely get to a bigger studio and get these recorded. So I started working them with Zach Hollander at the Pearl Recording Studio. And at the time, I really didn't know what was going on, but, you know, I just gave them the demos that I had made, and they were like, wow, you know, I hope we can get something recorded that captures the vibes of these demos. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, it was like my first, you know, third party had come in and said, you know, I have no idea. When I make something, I just have no idea if it's good or bad. It's just like I'm usually just making it because I want to make it, you know.
And right.
So they were like so encouraging, like, yeah, we really want to record this. And so we were in the course of making that record, just basically going in and recording, taking a song by song approach, like what does each song need. And on a couple songs, I wanted to have, you know, a girl backup singer, you know. And so mm-hmm. I thought, and I had heard Ashley actually on Facebook. She was moving out of a place, and she just had moved everything out of the place she was living and went in there and started singing, and she said it sounded really great. So she recorded herself singing Nobody Does It Better, the Spy Who Loved Me,
oh,
that
sure.
song. Yep. And it sounded so haunting and beautiful, just the sound of the empty place that she had been living in, and then you could hear like airplanes going over and just like the sound of life, but just her voice was just so stunning. And so I just randomly reached out to her because I had heard this, and I said, Ashley, you know, would you like to come in and, you know, maybe put some backup vocals on this? And we got together at my place and sat down and started singing. The first tune I think we sang was Hope You Never by Tom Petty. And instantly, like, our voices just blended, you know, in a way that I'd never experienced with any other singer. She's a very sympathetic artist, just a fine artist in her own right. But the way she blended with my voice, we got done singing that, and she just said, Michael, you're amazing to sing with. We've got to do something with this. And then it was like, okay, now I recast all the songs more as a pairing of two voices, mm-hmm. And kind of a conversation between two people, and really thought of the band in a completely different way, rather than just like, here I am just trying to put these songs out. I wanted to create more of a kind of a darkly romantic kind of musical world, and that's what we ended up creating with those first few records.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. And when you're like, just like, well, this is the way it's going to be, and then it's, nope, time out.
Yep,
yeah. We got to go a different direction.
We
got to
go a different way. Yep, yep.
How hard was it to reimagine your music that you already wrote one way, and now you're like, well, now there's two voices that are going to be
singing
this? It
was actually really inspiring. It was really invigorating because, you know, you sit and you're in a room and you kind of hash these things out and just by yourself, and to hand them off to these kind of musicians that I was working with and have them be really enthusiastic about it, mm-hmm. was super invigorating. So it created artistic world for me, really, to work in.
Right.
So, yeah.
As a songwriter, I always ask people that come in, how big is your notebook of ideas?
It's full now. I've actually started, I've got like one of those composition notebooks, you know, the black and white kind of.
Oh, yeah.
And I've actually got two of them. And the second one now is like, I don't even have anywhere to write anything anymore. So I've got to bust into
gotta
a
buy
new
a
one.
Third.
Yeah. Yeah. I have lost that once.
Oh, no.
It was actually, I tucked it in the back of my amp when I was at a gig, and I didn't realize I had done it, so I had no idea where it was for weeks. I went back to the venue, they hadn't seen it anywhere. I was like panicked because it had all the first lyrics that I had written for the band, had all these different, you know, notes, copious notes and so forth that I had taken. And I thought it was like the notebook, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And I lost it. I was just like heartbroken. But then, you know, one day I was like, oh, it could be in the back of my. So I went and I looked, and there it was. It was like, you know, it was like the gods looked down and like put it at my feet. It was like, thank
the
goodness,
sun shining through
I
the clouds.
The notebook, you know.
That's the history.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
the one thing I can't lose.
Yeah, I'm I'm a lot more careful with it now.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the one that's on the shelf that doesn't leave the shelf
yep,
now.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's on the music stand.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's not going anywhere
yep,
anymore.
Yep.
How would you describe the sound of Fathom Lane?
I think kind of a dark romantic sound, more of an adult sound. I think we sing songs about adults for adults, you know.
It's sure. Like,
so I think it definitely has a cinematic feeling to it. I think some people have said, you know, there's a lot of pedal steel or lap steel, mm-hmm. And a lot of ambience to the music. One of the Zach Hollander one time gave me the best compliment. I still think of this every once in a while. He said, "You're like the Twin Cities Tom Petty."
And oh, I was like, that's
oh,
pretty.
Oh, that's okay. Give me a hug. You know,
right?
But I really admire Tom Petty because of the simplicity that he brings. Because being simple. I'm a trained musician in performance. Being simple is you have to be reminded to do that.
Mm-hmm.
As a you know, someone who's studied performance, it's like sometimes you try to fit in all the notes, you know, and like when only one is necessary. And I think it was Tom Petty who looped me back, you know, to that thought of keeping it simple is really just so important. But it's also really difficult.
Sure.
But sometimes that's the most important thing, is to boil things down.
Yeah. It's like a lot of pressure, though, isn't it, when somebody compares you to somebody?
Yeah,
like
definitely,
that?
Definitely. Believe me, I didn't believe it myself,
right.
So it's like, but to hear it coming from someone else, it was nice to hear, yeah.
Right, yeah, because when people, you know, they say, well, you're like the next Casey Kasem, you know,
yeah.
I'm just like,
right.
That's a lot of pressure, you know, because that happens all the time.
Yeah, right.
You just got to get a top 40 show and
yeah,
get it syndicated,
yeah, exactly.
And then I'm just like him.
All over the world. Yes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen you perform. I was at the Amanda Gray show.
Oh, nice.
At the Ice House.
Nice.
And you wore a hat. So you do have, like, the hat look down. Everybody sees you in the hat. So.
Yeah, that's right. I did wear a hat that night. Sometimes there's hat gigs. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes it just depends. You
what
know?
What makes you decide? Do you just the feel when you get
know,
ready?
It's
or?
All – I don't even know how to describe it. You know, sometimes the hat's sitting there, and I'm like, no, not tonight.
Not tonight, hat.
Yep. You stay home.
A little tear falls down the hat's face.
Yeah. Yeah, I never, you know, knew if I was a hat guy or not, but then I got the right hat, you know. It's like,
sure.
You know, you find one and it feels good and people think it looks good or whatever, and
yeah.
You don't feel stupid and, you know. So, but yeah, I do notice that sometimes it makes the monitor mix a little bit better, you know, like I've got this nice. Wide-brimmed hat.
Yeah, you got like, the extra reverberation.
Like huge ears, you know, like pointing down at the monitor.
Right, yeah.
So it does, it definitely is. It gives a little bit different sound, which is interesting. So
that is interesting. I never would have even thought about that, but it makes sense if you got it coming at you.
Yep, it's like you're a big satellite brim. Dish, you know. Yeah. It's like you're catching that sound.
You're broadcasting to a wider audience.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I wear a lot of baseball caps, obviously, but... I started wearing a fedora last year.
Yep.
I actually kind of like it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just got to branch out once in
it's
a while.
You just got to find the right hat, or the right hat has to find you.
Right. Somehow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Because I've tried to wear something other than a baseball cap before, and you just, like you said, you just that it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah. If you feel self-conscious at all, it's not the right hat.
Right.
It's just got to be, it's on and you're just living it, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
All right, the time is now 10:12. You're listening to the 9:45 show on Frogtown Community Radio. I have Michael from Fathom Lane in studio today. And lucky for our listeners / viewers now, we are recording this on video as well. So we'll get this out on the Mike Rez Radio YouTube channel. I dusted that off.
Nice.
And we're going to try to... start using that a little bit more, I guess.
Sweet.
Gotta, you know, I told you before we got on the air, you gotta do these things, otherwise you get run over by everybody else.
Yeah, you gotta put the content out.
I know, it's the worst.
Yeah.
So speaking of content, tell us where we can find Fathom Lane on the internet, and then we're gonna get into some of your music.
Yeah, I guess just about everywhere you can stream us. Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer, Tidal, all the streaming services we're out at. You know, if you can also buy physical copies from us through Bandcamp. We have vinyl, we have CDs, got cassettes of the new record too.
Nice.
So it's the first time I've done cassettes with this band. So yeah, you can find us on Bandcamp. Just do a search on Fathom Lane. You could find us there. So
awesome. And then you have a website too, correct?
Yeah, we have a website, fathomlane.com. We also have a YouTube channel like you do. We have a lot of video content out there. You know, we love to shoot videos, made some kind of epic videos. Actually, the first tune I'm going to play in the studio too is one that we have a video for called The Queen of All Hearts. That we shot at the Gale Mansion in Minneapolis, and it was, well, just go watch it. Just check it out.
Right.
Then we have a video for IOA that we shot all over, you know, southeast Minnesota, and worked with Nate Nelson on that one out of Winona. And that one is, again, it's a travel log. The song itself is kind of a travel log, and as is the video. So I had to act in it, so you'll have to check that out. I tried
nice.
To act. It's my first time doing anything like that. So, but, yeah, we have a lot of video content for this new record, and then we have a few videos for our previous records as well.
Awesome. All right, well, let's get into some of the music.
Nice.
Let's get some new ears on this and some ears that have already heard it. I almost said old ears.
Old ears.
I better not say that. And then I just did anyway, so what the heck. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn on your guitar microphone, and then you've got three songs.
Yeah.
I'm just going to turn it over to you, and you just introduce the songs as you go, and just like you're on stage right now.
Okay, so we'll do all three?
We'll do all three.
Back to back.
Whoa.
Well,
we can take a set break in between if you need to.
If we need to chat or something. So the first one here, this one is called The Queen of All Hearts. And like I said, check out the video online and on YouTube. And we'll just get going with... I wrote this song when I was mad, so hope that comes through. baby, who you gonna be tonight? And who might break till? Are you lighting up my way tonight? On a smooth road to hell. Have you ever met a lie that you just wouldn't tell? Have you ever had a soul that you just wouldn't sell? 'Cause you're the queen of all hearts, the queen of all liars, the keeper of dreams and all my desires. So break every heart, there's more lies to tell. The crown suits you well. Baby, who am I gonna be tonight? And will you play along as well? Will you tell me a tale tonight that only you could sell? Will you tell me I'm the lucky one? Will you tell me I'm your king? Have you ever had a love that never meant a thing? 'Cause you're the queen of all hearts, the queen of all liars, the keeper of dreams and all my desires. So break every heart, there's more lies to tell. The crown suits you well. Baby, tell me, who are we tonight? And what is it you done? Can you look me in the eye tonight and tell me I'm the only one? Will you tell me we're the lucky one? You're the queen and I'm the king. Have you ever said a word that meant a goddamn thing? 'Cause you're the queen of all hearts, the queen of all liars, the keeper of dreams all my desires. So go break his heart, there's more lies to tell. Your clown suits you well. You're the queen of all hearts, the queen of all liars, the keeper of dreams and all my desires. So break every heart, there's more lies to tell. The crown suits you well. There's a good old country waltz for you there.
That was nice. You can feel the anger in that one.
Yeah, a little bit of a heartbreaker on that one. So, this next one is Iowa. That's another one that I told you that we made a video for, the one that's all over southeast Minnesota. Minnesota. So check this video out if you have a chance to, but just put on my capo, so let's make sure that it's not going to offend your ears. We should be good, yeah. You're backloaded with a crooked smile. You say you landed on your feet all right. Should I play along and act surprised? Crawling back and bringing alibis. You ditched the dirt of North Dakota to lose your mind in Minnesota, Indiana only let you down. Dakota, bloody sunsets, but Iowa is where it all gets complicated. More games than a penny arcade. You're only playing like a Benno. Pull the pin on your hot grenade. You hand it over and you're running away. You ditch the dirt of North Dakota to lose your mind in Minnesota, Indiana only let you down. Bloody sunsets, but Iowa is where it all gets complicated. It gets you're a vision in the light like that. And now you tell me why you're coming back. I still remind you of the one you love. And nothing else that you've been guilty of. You ditched the dirt of North Dakota to lose your mind in Minnesota, Indiana only let you down. South Dakota, bloody sunsets, but Iowa is where it all gets complicated. It gets complicated. So normally, speaking of Matt Patrick, mm-hmm. normally that tune has a really long outro. Kind of the FM fade,
right?
You know, yep. Like where Matt gets a chance to just like really let loose on guitar. So
nice.
Check out the studio version of that one too. It's got a lot of really, really fantastic guitar work by Matt Patrick on it.
So, very nice. Yeah, the FM fade is it's a lot of DJs art. Like that. Yeah,
yeah, it's a lost art, you know. And then this tune is one called "Fire Underwater," and It's a tune that was sitting there with words written for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And then just finally for this record, I was able to get some music written for it. So, and we're going to put out a video for this one sometime within the next couple of months here, a lyric video that's in the works right now. So this one's called Fire Underwater. In the after, running from a new disaster, holding nothing that you own and that you don't regret. It's the end of the beginning, you ain't lost, this ain't winning. You're adding yourself up to see just what you get. Don't it burn like a fire underwater? Settle down. Settle down. Don't it burn like a fire underwater? Settle down. Settle on down. After all the black suspicion and the verbal ammunition, after every broken promise has been cast away, feel like only lovers pay the price when you discover the thorny little truth inside that old cliche. Don't it burn like a fire underwater? Settle down. Settle down. Don't it burn like a fire underwater? Settle on down. Is this your last love, baby Mary? Am I the first to take the fall? Is this your best love, baby Mary? Is it the one you want at all? Is it strong enough for this love? Is it built to take a rough road? Will it go another mile just when you think it's gone? Will it be the one that first breaks through the jealousy and heartbreak? Will it whisper all your secrets before moving on? And don't it burn like a fire underwater? Settle down. Settle down. Don't it burn like a fire underwater? Settle down, settle on down.
Nice.
Thank you.
I like that a lot.
Thanks.
I get, so for Iowa, where in southeast Minnesota did you record, film that video?
We filmed it in Winona.
Okay.
Rochester. I think those are the two main locations.
Yep. Okay. I used to live in Preston, like down by Lanesboro and Harmony, so I was wondering,
okay,
wondering how far south you got.
Yeah, my family has roots in that area. My,
okay.
My dad grew up on a farm near Dover, Minnesota.
Oh, sure.
Went to Winona State for his college.
Okay.
And so I was down in that area a lot when I was growing up because the farm down in that area was in the, it's still in the family, and mm-hmm. you know, it's coming up on 200 years now, or 100 and, you know, 100
right.
and whatever, 150 years or whatever. So yeah, it's a place that's near and dear to my heart and soul.
Yep.
And ended up doing a lot of work in that area because Nathaniel Nelson, the video artist and you know, director of photography, worked with him a lot and just loved that area. Ended up doing a lot of shows in that area, so that's why the, you know, did so much work in the Driftless area, that area of Wisconsin and southeast Minnesota. Just has a very unique topography to it.
Right.
With the bluffs and just the untouched part of the continent or whatever. Right. So it's, you know, just a, it's just a beautiful area. And so yeah. That's where the title of the record comes from as well.
Nice. I married into Winona.
Oh, nice.
So my wife's,
it's always good.
Yeah. Her dad is from, Winona, and he still has family that lives down there. And so we get down there 2 to 3 times a year. And
yeah. Do you ever go to Midwest Music Fest?
I have not.
You should go. We've played there several years. We're not doing it this year. They've got a great lineup put together for this year, though, and it's always a great time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to head down that way. I know Amanda Grace is from that area. So,
yep, absolutely.
Yeah. First time I talked to her, we talked about Blado's and Rocco's East and West and which one's better. And
yep.
All that, you know, the battle down there with which pizza's better. So did you include Sugarloaf in your video for Iowa?
Actually, I don't know. Sugarloaf is actually, that's in, our, Sugar Down video, I believe.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah. It's in the background of the last shot.
Yeah. You have to have that in there. Yeah. You're going to record down there.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For those who know, who those who don't know are going to, maybe they're Googling it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not that important to them. I don't know. I like it. So that's awesome. So that's all of them were on the new album.
Yep, all those were on the new record.
In the Drift List, excuse me. And that's available, you said, everywhere. It's streaming everywhere, Bandcamp. Mm-hmm. We always encourage people to go to Bandcamp or the website. But if you're going to stream it 1,000 times today.
Yeah, please, just put it on repeat.
Yeah, do that. Put it on, you know what, make like 9 different playlists and put it on that as well.
Yeah.
So gotta get those numbers up for everybody.
Yeah, that'd be
so
awesome.
Yeah, especially Spotify's messing with indie artists again, so with the 1,000 streams.
Yep. They're making it really hard to even want to do this anymore, I got to say. If it wasn't for all the other parts of the business, I would probably throw up my hands and just leave, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And the sad thing is Spotify was started and founded on the indie artist in mind, and now it's not that way anymore.
No.
And, I mean, we have Bandcamp, and hopefully that stays the way it is now.
Yep.
For those who don't know, Bandcamp.com, when you purchase something off Bandcamp, most of that money goes to the artist.
Yep, a higher percentage goes to the artist, for sure.
Yeah.
And there's Bandcamp Fridays, when our special events when they give even more to the artist.
Yes.
So watch out for Bandcamp Fridays.
It's usually the first Friday of the month.
Yep.
So that's something they started during the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
and I'm glad they kept it going.
Yep.
So they have no plans to get rid of it. At least that's what they say anyway. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
As of now.
Yeah.
That
As
is
of this
key.
Moment. Yeah.
All right. So we're getting to that point of the show here, Michael, and we have a little intro here.
It is now time for the WFNULP Out the Window Weather Report.
All right, since we're in Minnesota, we take that very seriously, the weather, so that's why we have that cool, funky intro.
There's a 100% chance of a vintage Caddy going down the street right now.
I just see the tail end of it right there.
Yeah, man, that was a boat. That was a beautiful boat.
And there it goes.
Yeah, off into the sun.
Doesn't even want to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a green light anyway.
Yeah,
so.
It was a green light. I mean, granted it was. Green
right,
light.
Yeah. All right, so this is the point of the time of the show where you will look out the window, tell our listeners what the weather is like, and then I will come in at the end and give like a accurate forecast of what to expect.
Well, so. I mean, I'm going to give it a 1,000% chance of being ridiculously pleasant out right now. I'm craning my neck. I do not see a cloud in the sky. I see a little bit of low haze. I'm going to go with a low haze.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, there's a kind of a coloration towards the horizon. But other than that, I see heavy, hard shadows falling because of the brightness of the sun right now.
Yes, yes. Everything you said, I will back up 100%.
Oh, thank goodness.
So, yeah. Was that the first time you ever did weather on a broadcast?
Absolutely.
Of any sort?
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, I'm a Minnesotan. I talk weather all the time.
Right. That's why I think it should be easy.
Yeah.
You know, that's all we talk about when we're like sitting there and the awkward silence happens. Good weather there.
Yep. Hey, nice day out there. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. For the rest of today, it will be sunny. We're going to have a high near 79. It will be breezy, though, out of the south at 20 miles an hour with gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. So if you're going to have a bonfire tonight, be careful.
Hold on to your wig.
Yes, absolutely. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 49. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 70. It looks like we've turned that corner into some 70s here. So you know that means we're going to probably hit some 40s later on in the week.
It's going to snow on Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, Monday, a 20% chance of showers, mostly sunny with a high near 72. Tuesday, showers possible and a thunderstorm is possible as well. High near 62, breezy as well on Tuesday. Wednesday, showers likely.
Okay, so not snow. I was kidding. I was yanking your chain.
It's close enough, though. Yeah. I mean, we are dropping in temperature, though, because Wednesday's high is going to be 58. So we're going the wrong way.
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah. Thursday, a 30% chance of rain again, a high near 49. Friday, guess what? Rain. Guess what? The high is dropping again, high near 47.
I mean, we need the rain.
We do. We are in a deficit.
Yeah, we need it.
Because of the snow that did not happen this year.
I want to get out on the boat fairly soon, so we need that rain. We need to get the lake levels up.
Right. Are you a pontoon or a fishing boat?
I just have a fishing boat.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's so much fun.
Do you do a lot of fishing?
I don't do a lot of fishing in it.
Oh.
Actually, my dad gave it to me because he's not doing it so much anymore because he can't see so well anymore. So he was kind enough to rehome the boat with me, and it's just been great. I mean,
nice.
I live out in Chanhassen near Minnewashta. And just going out there, I'll take the kids out there. We call it a boatnik. We have a picnic on the boat.
Very nice.
Yep. So, it's more, I've been using it more for pleasure. I do fish, and I've taken my kids out to go fishing. But as we all know, as parents, if you take your kids fishing, you don't get to fish.
No.
Even if you have a line in the water, you're taking care of them the entire time. So,
right.
Yeah. So that's been kind of my fishing life the last couple of summers. So.
Yeah. We were those kids growing up. We were the kids that were always like, Dad, and then my dad never got to fish. But as we got older, as we would go fishing with my dad, we would see that his grandkids were kind of doing the same thing. So we stopped that early.
Yeah.
And we showed the kids how to take the fish off, how to bait their own hooks. So that way people who want to fish can fish.
Yeah.
Instead
of doing all the fishing for other people.
Right, yeah. So it's worked out pretty well. I mean, my kids know how to bait and hook, bait and take fish
off. Kids still don't want to touch the darn fish.
Really?
I got to get them into I take that back. Maybe my son now, he's taken, through summer programs or whatever, they'll have like a fishing one, and I think they kind of make the kids.
Sure. Get over that fear.
Yeah, get over the fear, which is a good thing if you're in Minnesota.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to know how to fish.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one of those cliches.
Fish, you got to know how to fish, and you got to know how to talk to the weather.
That's right. Yep, that's right. And you got to hit some small town bar at some point in your life.
Yep.
Just to say you've been to a dive bar.
Yep, so, absolutely.
And they're everywhere.
Yep.
So just get out of the cities. The time is out 10:40. You were listening to the 9:45 show on Frogtown Community Radio, your WFNULP. And I have Michael from Fathom Lane in studio today. If you missed any part of the show before now, man, have you missed a great show. It's probably one of the best shows I've ever done.
Really?
So,
You say that to all the guests.
I can neither confirm nor deny anything that. Michael did play some music from the new album in the Drift List, so you can go back and listen to it on demand on the WFNU app later on today, or you can listen to it via podcast later on today. The video portion of the podcast will go up later on the Mike Rez Radio YouTube channel, probably tomorrow, I'm guessing.
Cool.
So we'll see when I get to it.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, Michael, last week when I had Shuggy on, I decided that we were going to start using this random question generator from the University of Washington.
Nice.
And it's a very simple thing. We're just going to do three questions.
I'm scared.
So I'm just going to click for the question. I'm going to ask it to you, and you can just answer at the best of your
ability. Are there ever math questions? Because
I don't know.
Okay, because I don't have my notebook. Here.
Do you have your phone with you? There's a calculator.
Oh, yeah, that's true, true. Yeah. That's
okay,
true.
Let's see what the first question is here. What is something you can never seem to finish?
Oh, something I can never seem to finish. Oh, being a musician.
Yeah?
Yeah. I can never finish that.
That's awesome.
I don't know. I have to say, like, this is an interesting question because I am definitely a finisher. I guess my dad kind of instilled, if you're going to start something, you got to make sure to finish it.
Okay.
But yeah, I guess, so that kind of brings that up. It's kind of hard for me to think of like some things that aren't finished, you know?
Do you start and finish TV shows?
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
I do not have that discipline.
I'm in the middle of Traitors right now.
What's that one?
It's on Peacock.
Okay.
And it's this, they get a group of people together and they can all win $250,000, okay?
Okay.
So it's like 20 people. But what they do is they make, if at like the first day they choose three out of the group to be traitors, okay? And so they try to get to the end of the show all together. They have to form these challenges. They have to all work together, but three of them are working behind the scenes and they kill a different quote-unquote faithful. So you've got the faithfuls, which is the majority of the group, and then the traitors. And so they try to get to the end of the game, but if there's a traitor still at the end of the game, the traitor takes everything. So the traitor has to go under the radar and like pretend that they're a faithful, like they're trying to find the traitors the entire time. But really what they're trying to do is like manipulate the group into voting all the other faithfuls off, so they're like the last people standing. And so it's like it's like a sociological, psychological, just very interesting, you know. It's almost like a parlor game on steroids.
Yeah, it's like a murder mystery, but
yeah. But I'm obsessed with this now because it's like they have, you know, the different casts that come in. There's so many different kinds of personalities, you know, and so it's just, you know, it's just fascinating to watch how these humans operate in this like little petri dish.
Right. Yeah. How cutthroat people really get.
Yeah, absolutely. The nicest people end up being the best traders, you know? So,
right, yeah. That's how you fly under the radar. Yep. You make cookies for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Get them to get people to vote them out. Yep. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of that. I'm going to have to look that one up. I'll get like two episodes in and then I'll stop. So
yeah. I have been just like obsessively like binge watching that one.
Awesome. So, yeah. Well, that's a good one. I've never heard of that one. All right. Question number two. What's the best piece of advice you ever received?
Oh, wow.
That one's a little hard to just answer on the spot, I think.
It is. I mean, that is, you know, piece of advice. That's really difficult. Go to the next question.
Okay, let's go to the, we'll pretend that one never happened.
I mean, you know, I will say that I have gotten a lot of great advice. You know, one of the best pieces of advice, I think I do know the best piece of advice that I ever received. And that is when my friend Gary told me, don't freak out.
That's good
advice. I think that I have actually, like, thought of that little piece of advice, you know, whenever some sort of crisis comes up in my life, whenever something, you know, just that seems hard to deal with, I just have always thought of don't freak out, you know, like, because if you're freaking out and something bad's happening, it's even worse than just something bad happening.
Right.
So it's like it can make things worse. And so, like, I think I've always, you know, people have told me, even my kids have said, you know, Dad, you're so even keeled. You don't get too, you know, when I get scared, you know I can look to you and, like, everything's okay because you basically I don't freak out, you know. So so that's been, I have given that piece of advice out to other people at different times. Sometimes it was welcome, sometimes not. You know, like, don't freak out, you know?
Right, yeah.
What do you mean, don't freak out?
Yeah, it depends on how you're saying it in the situation.
Exactly,
for sure.
Yeah. So, but, you know, and then other times people have said, oh, thank you. That really helps to know not to freak out.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, I do think, you know, thank you for letting me think about that for a minute, because I do think that's the best piece of advice I've ever gotten.
Right.
Yeah.
That would look good on a T-shirt, too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, just, like, don't freak out.
I think I have a new T-shirt
that I'm going to... Yeah, and then on the back, but... by Fathom Lane
music. Yeah, exactly.
That'll be pretty sweet. Yeah, that'll have to be your new t-shirt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, the third and final random question. What's something you wish you'd figured out sooner?
Oh, boy. Wow. I guess, something that I should have figured out sooner. I don't know. I guess I wish I would have figured out sooner that you never figure everything out.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
It's like I've come to the realization now that there's no way you can figure everything out.
Right.
And so I guess, you know, a lot, I wanted to find the answers to everything for so long, and I just realized, you know, the longer you live, the more you realize I'm never going to figure it out. I'm never going to figure everything out, you know. Yep. And so I guess it's good to be in that place. I feel like I'm older now. You know, I have that devil may care. Once you get to our age or whatever, you know, it's just like, you know, a lot of stuff falls away. You stop caring about this stuff, a lot of things that you kind of carried as baggage. And,
yep,
you know, maybe it's just time and seasoning that gets you to that point, but I really wish I would have figured it out sooner.
Yeah. You know? It's too bad we have to wait so long to figure that out.
Yeah. I feel like my 20s would have been awesome if, right, I would have had the attitude I have now, you know.
Right, yeah.
Not that,
exactly,
they weren't awesome. Right, they were just, yeah, awesome in a different way.
Yeah.
Full of angst, you know. So
just like, why? A lot of whys.
Yeah.
In the 20s.
Yep.
And those whys get fewer and fewer as,
yep,
you get older.
Yep. So you're just like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter why.
Yeah. Or you go, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that too.
Yep,
so,
yep.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, then how would that make sense? So, all right. Well, thank you for indulging me in the three random questions.
Absolutely, those are fun.
Yeah, I might have to get an intro to that too.
Yeah, a little liner for that one.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm slowly like trying to figure out. You know, you're like, how do you, you know, in radio, it's like, how do you make money for the radio station? Well,
yeah.
I got the weather, and now I've got three random questions, yeah, or segments that people can sponsor if they want. So, anyway. We're talking to Michael from Fathom Lane. In the Driftless is the new album. And we have a few more minutes here before we have to get going. And then you can go on with your Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Do you have any shows coming up? Does Fathom Lane?
We don't have a lot going on this summer. Like I mentioned, okay, earlier, if you just joined us, Ashley, our keyboard player and singer, just had a baby. So we're kind of doing a few gigs here and there, but we do have a big one coming up at Ice House on June 14th.
Cool.
Hopefully the weather will cooperate. That's going to be an earlier show. We're going to be playing outside, and it's a co-bill with Jillian Ray.
Oh, cool.
Another great artist. So we've done a few shows over the years with Jillian, and they're always really fun and memorable, and hopefully this will be the same. They do a few outdoor shows at Ice House in Minneapolis during the summer, and I've always wanted to play one, so I'm really happy we're going to be able to do that. And then the other thing we have on the calendar is at the Cedar Cultural Center, which is one of the finest venues in all the land for, you know, folk music and world music. And so we're honored to be going in there. We're going to be opening up for Bob Schneider, great songwriter, who I first became familiar with in the early 2000s. And that's August 24th. So that we're doing that one as a duo. Matt and I are going to be playing that one. So that'll be fun. It's always interesting playing at the Cedar Cultural Center. It is such a... you're up there on stage, and everyone's kind of sitting down, and you can't really see them very well. And people clap, and you walk up there, and then it's bone silent. It is just absolutely. And you're like, okay, I guess this is a listening audience then, huh? So you like instantly feel like you're under the best kind of microscope, really. It's like,
right,
the first time you do it, it's a little unnerving. But then once you kind of realize, oh, wow, these people are really appreciative, really listening, really supportive. It's just one of my absolute favorite places to play.
So. Right. Like you say that, it's funny. At first I was like, well, why would that? And I was like, well, when you're usually playing like at a bar or a coffee shop, and there's conversations going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of murmuring.
Background
noise and the sound of fridges going and venues. And so it's just like there's at least something going on. But you get to the theater, and it is that audio microscope, you know.
Yeah.
And the sound is always just fantastic there. I've seen some of my favorite shows there, you know, like Iris Dement. I remember she just a phenomenal show there.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just always an honor to play at the Cedar, and so we're really excited to do that in August.
Nice. Yeah, and you'll get, like you said, everyone will be paying attention to you.
So. Yeah.
Eli Gardner, I don't know if you know who he is. He's got one of the best pieces of merchandise on a hat that says "Shut up and listen to the music."
Oh yeah, I've seen that. So. I think I know Eli. Yeah,
yeah.
Like Facebook know him.
Yeah. So yeah, I bought that hat as soon as I saw it was on his website. I was like, I got to get that.
Nice, perfect. Yeah.
So I'll wear that to shows once in a while.
Yeah, I can't believe people would just chat on through shows the entire time. It's like, really? Did you? I understand it's a social thing, but the music's going on. Maybe you could like tune into, you know, what you bought a ticket for.
I did see, wasn't music related, but it was a stand-up comic. The video, you know, they posted it just to show like how crowds act sometimes. And he's up there trying to tell his jokes, but you hear someone in the background having a conversation with someone, and he just stops and just stares at that person for like a minute. They just kept going, didn't even realize he stopped talking.
Some people are just in their own world.
I know, yeah. So it's just like, you know, it's the same thing. It's like, why don't talk?
Yeah.
You know, listen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're at a bar, you know, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be some conversation going on. But, yeah, like in more intimate setting.
Yeah, and that's the kind of music that we play, too. You know, I mean, we do definitely do bars and we play clubs and stuff, but... Mm-hmm. Really appreciate also going into the listening rooms where you can really, you know, because there's a different vibe, you know, when you just feel like the audience is kind of on the journey a little bit more with you when, you know, it's just like so quiet and people kind of tune in.
Yeah. Have you ever played the Dakota?
Yes, not with this group, but with my previous band, Electropolis. We played there, I think, a couple times.
Yeah. That's kind of like the opposite of what we're talking. It's a club, but... everyone's there to watch the music.
And I love shows there. Yeah. I've seen a lot of great shows at the Dakota.
Right, yeah. It's a great venue. I love that place. So I'm glad it's stuck around and it's going strong. So how old were you when you first started learning music, like playing instruments?
I think I was in probably third grade when I got my first saxophone. I really fell in love with the saxophone because of my dad's record collection. Just really loved the sound of it. And so I knew I wanted to play the tenor sax. I didn't want to play the small one because the small sax is what I thought of it as. At that point, I wanted to play the big one, the tenor sax, which I could barely carry at the time. So I was like very much regretting my choice. But so then I started doing that like in third grade. And I'm even thinking back to those first, you know, band sessions where – playing with the band and just getting the chills, like feeling that feeling you get when you're playing music with other people, you know, that feeling of frisson when you get the goosebumps. And that's when it started. And I was like, ooh, I like that. And I've been chasing that, I think, ever since, you know.
It's kind of like an adrenaline high.
Yeah, definitely.
But music-wise, anyway, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you always been comfortable standing or in front of groups playing music?
I've always felt fairly comfortable, and I think it started like when I was in kindergarten. I was a huge John Denver fan when I was a really little kid, and I was like in kindergarten, and it was right around the time when he was like at the height of his popularity. And I told my kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Wonker, one day, I said, there's going to be a concert today. I'm going to give a concert. And she went along with it. And so, you know, at a certain point in the day, you know, I don't know if it was after snack time or whatever, you know, she said, okay, Mike, you know, I was Mike at the time. Mike's going to do a concert. And so I hopped up on the table and she had all the kids quiet down and I sang Country Roads, you know, by John Denver.
Nice.
And so, yeah, I went up there and the thing I remember, I can picture her at the back of the room. The kids are all sitting, she's standing at the back of the room and she's like mouthing the words along with me.
Oh,
and so I was like, oh, wow, this is what it's all about, you know? So like from that point on, so I guess I wasn't ever really shy. I didn't know well enough to be shy, you know,
The time.
I've had nerves at different points in, you know, my career with different shows and stuff, but I guess I've always had that kind of like, okay, let's just do it. No.
Do it and then think about it later.
Yeah, so, think about it later.
That's awesome. And that song is still a very big karaoke song too.
Yep,
so.
Yep. We actually have a version of Country Roads on our album, Asilomar.
Nice.
I had to do it for a singer-songwriter night. They said, okay, you know, bring your first favorite song that you ever had that wasn't like a kid's song.
Okay.
And so I had to cop to the fact that it was Country Roads. And so then I just did, you know, a version of it that, you know, my present self could, you know, get along with, that was not like, didn't seem like it was like the West Virginia Chamber of Commerce kind of theme song. And so I kind of really made it sad. Like, what if this guy wasn't super happy about the country roads that he had? What if he didn't want to go back home, really? Like, he had that kind of a vibe. What's he going to find when he gets back there?
Sure.
And so that's kind of the different recasting we did for the song.
Nice.
Yeah.
Different. All right. Well, thanks for coming in this morning. We're already at the end of the show.
Yeah, so. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Absolutely. So download, listen, stream Fathom Lane, visit their website. If you missed anything, you can go back and listen to the podcast later on. Thank you very much for joining us on the 945 show on Frogtown Community Radio. Have a good weekend, and we will see you next week.